I'll have to ask you about how that went last time. Half an hour long. Tony, he had to go on keys today. That made him uncomfortable. Don't worry, I'm with you on that. I'm uncomfortable right now. One intense one, someone had a gun to their head at 17 years. Yeah. Unknown to them, they were in a stolen car, a police car chase in Long Beach. Oh my, that's more than uncomfortable for me. But yeah, so there's a lot of times where we find ourselves uncomfortable. The one I can always think of is the elevator story where you're just in the elevator and there's another person there next to you and don't know if you should say anything. Yeah. And it's very uncomfortable. So with that in mind, let's start with verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So what was Philip doing before the angel of the Lord told him to do this? Philip was in Samaria. He was evangelizing people. He was casting out demons. He was healing people. He was doing all this stuff. He even evangelized Simon Magus, he had a huge following in all this. And now he's being told, leave the crowds, leave all the people, and go to the desert where no one should be really walking around. Philip starts out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. This is like the biblical elevator story. There's Philip just walking around the desert, minding his own business, and another guy shows up. Completely different from him. They're all alone. Philip, probably not that rich, probably has no money. He just preaches. He tells people about God. He's probably walking. His sandals are probably all torn up. His robe probably smells really bad. And then this guy comes, the treasurer of Candace. He's in a chariot. He's got a lot of money. He's reading the Isaiah scroll. You have to be pretty rich to own the Isaiah scroll. He's completely different from Philip. So that he's uncomfortable. Philip is probably uncomfortable, all that. And so it continues in verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, if I was Philip, I would ask him, are you sure? You want me, this guy, not rich, to go up to that guy? It's like God asking you, hey, go to that guy with the Lamborghini, go talk to him about Jesus. Are you sure about that, God? I don't want to do that. It's a little uncomfortable. When I went to ATW last year, we were in Vietnam, and we had service, and then it fell through. Our service work fell through in Vietnam. And so we kind of made up our own service. So what we did one day was our professor took us to a park in Vietnam. He sat us out in the middle, and he said, for about an hour or so, I want you to walk around this park and ask people if they want help speaking English. That we all looked at each other like, he didn't just say that, did he? You want us, a bunch of Americans, just white people, to walk around Vietnam and be, hey, do you want to learn English? It wasn't known to us, but this park was actually known for students in Vietnam to go find Americans and talk to them in English. But we didn't know that. We thought we were just, all right, we're going to go talk to them in English. So the professor said, break. And he walked away. And we all sat there probably for a few minutes looking at each other. who's going to make the first move? Some people immediately embraced the discomfort, and they're like, we're off. And then a lot of us just stood there like, I guess we should start walking. And so a few of us started to saunter. We like made groups and started walking. And I was like, I guess just sit next to someone. People were just sitting on benches, and I sat next to a guy. I'm like, do you speak English? And it would either be yes, or he would look at me confused. And then they would get up and walk away. I was like, I'm not doing a very good job at this. And it was like a tag team, too. So, like, our group, be like, Jacob, it's your turn. Go try and sit next to someone. And so after, like, the fourth time being denied by a random person, I'm sitting on the bench still like, oh, I'm not doing a very good job. This girl walks up to me, and she's like, are you American? I'm like, yeah, do you need help speaking English? And instead of saying no, she was like, yes, I really need your help to speak English. I'm like, I turned to my friends, I'm like, yes, we did it. And so then they all walk over as well, like, we're here to help. They all jump in, and we're all talking to her in English, and then we even ask her, hey, can you speak to us in Vietnamese? We are going to be here for 2 weeks, so we need to learn. And so we're talking, she's talking. Jesus somehow gets sprinkled in there. She asks us, like, hey, so what do you guys do in America? Like, oh, we're college students at this private Christian college. And she's like, oh, like Jesus? And we're like, yeah, like Jesus. And so, like, small conversation about that. But overall, like, it was very uncomfortable. But it was interesting how we all, like, embraced it in that one moment. It was probably uncomfortable for her to walk up to us and be like, we need help speaking English. That was uncomfortable. She embraced it. We were uncomfortable, and she kind of helped us embrace it. And so, with that, what does Philip say in response to the Spirit? Instead of sauntering over like we probably would have, we're like, we don't really want to do that. We don't want to go talk to the random person in the desert. Philip runs to the chariot. Like, full-on books it to that chariot. He doesn't just walk or, like, dawdle. He runs. And when he gets there, he hears the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And this is my interpretation of him reaching the chariot. He smacks it. He's like, do you understand the, oh, man, I'm out of shape. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asks. And the eunuch replies, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And so he invites Philip to come up and sit with him. Similar to how we felt when she was like, yes, we need you to help us speak English. I bet you Philip was like, yes, I'm doing something. And so the eunuch starts to read the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch starts to ask Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Now, I don't know about you, but when I get asked a question about Christianity, I get a little uncomfortable. Am I going to answer it correctly? Like, what if I say the wrong thing? Am I going to speak heresy to my friend? We all can get a little uncomfortable with that. Some, we might not know the right answer, but a lot of the time, as Philip responds, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. A lot of the times, questions can be answered with Jesus. How should I treat my neighbors? Well, let's see. What did Jesus do? He died for us. So that means he really loved us. He sacrificed a lot for us. So I'm guessing that we should probably do the same for our neighbors. We should love them. We should sacrifice ourselves sometimes for them. Things like that, like just little connections of Jesus can answer a lot of big questions. And even then, Jesus is always with us to answer those questions. And so, verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Another uncomfortable situation I always find myself in is when someone says, "We need you to be a leader of something." Now, it might just be because I'm only 20, but when someone says, "Hey, you're in charge of these people over here," I start to think, I'm not that qualified. Like, even now in this position, I'm not very qualified to be preaching up here. I'm not a pastor. I'm learning to be one. But even though in this uncomfortable position, I have to embrace it because that is what God's calling me to do. And so Philip, instead of being like, I'm not very qualified. I'm not even part of the 12 apostles. I'm not even a pastor. I can call John or Peter. Like, they know. They know their stuff. They can baptize you, like, way better than I can. But instead of making excuses, they give orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea to continue to embrace discomfort. In our society, we always hear ways to be more comfortable. Oh, you got to have a really nice couch so you could lay in it and be like, oh, this is really comfortable. You got to have like the biggest TV so that you don't strain your neck when you're watching. You got to be super comfortable. You got to be financially stable. You got to have a good house, a good paying job. You got to make sure that you're comfortable. But sometimes God doesn't call us to be comfortable. A lot of the times, God calls us to be uncomfortable. The one person I can always think of is Jonah. Jonah, a prophet, he never really got it. Sad but true. He was told by God, "Go to Nineveh." And Jonah responded, "They're slapping people with fishes over there. I ain't going there." And he went the complete opposite direction. It didn't work out for Jonah, but we all find ourselves sometimes escaping moments of discomfort. God says, "Hey, go talk to your neighbor. Tell them about Jesus." God, they might have a lot of questions. I might not be able to answer them. I can give them my pastor's phone number. Maybe he can go and talk to them. But I'm not qualified to talk to them. It makes me uncomfortable. Maybe God says, "Hey, go on that mission trip to Hungary." God, that's expensive. I have to then also go to another country. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know if my finances can take care of that. God, that I might just donate $10 to it and call it a day. Like, that's as most comfortable as I am with this. We all find ourselves slipping, always evading the uncomfortable, always evading what God wants us to do. But there was one person who did it all, one person who embraced discomfort his entire life. That man was Jesus. He left heaven. He left all the leisure, all the power, and came to earth as a baby. He embraced discomfort. He was told, go talk to the prostitutes, go talk to the lepers, go talk to the sick, go talk to all the dirty sinners out there. Jesus embraced the discomfort. Jesus then died on a cross. He died an uncomfortable, painful, excruciating death. But Jesus embraced the discomfort. And he did that to fulfill God's will of saving us, of bringing us to heaven one day. So, Jesus says, go talk to your neighbor. It's uncomfortable, but embrace that discomfort. Who knows? Maybe you'll be able to do something wonderful in that person's life. Maybe you'll even be able to bring them to Jesus. That mission trip, it is expensive. And then that country, they don't really speak English. It's going to be uncomfortable. But imagine the things that you'll be able to do. Imagine the things that Jesus will be able to do in those people's life because you are there. Embrace the discomfort in all that God asks you to do to fulfill his will. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we don't like being uncomfortable. We would much rather stay in our comfort bubble. We don't want to leave it for anything. But God, you always call us out of that bubble. You say, go do this, go do that. And we always want to respond, no, that's uncomfortable, God. But help us to instead not say no, but to say, I will embrace that discomfort because you have a plan, and I trust you, God, and I believe that you are going to be able to do great things through my discomfort. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, not too shabby. Woo! So uncomfortable. Reg, I still have a job here, okay, man? He's not replacing me yet, okay? Back off. Back off. Just kidding. That'd be one of the greatest honors in the world. All right, we're going to turn our